May I speak this morning in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it is not a secret that I do enjoy football, and it is indeed true that I do enjoy football. And it is also not a secret that I do support Manchester United, which indeed I do support Manchester United. And it is not a secret as well that this week something happened at Manchester United, that they sacked their coach because of terrible performance. But as the coach was leaving, he penned a letter to the fans of Man United, to me as one of the fans of Man United as well. And in that letter, he said many things, but one of the things that he mentioned, he said, "It has been a privilege to be the head coach of this football club. It has been great to enjoy the support of you, the fans of Manchester United, especially at Old Trafford, when we had easy games and when we had difficult games. Your support made the atmosphere at Old Trafford electrifying." I must say, I have not been to Old Trafford since Erik ten Hag was appointed as coach, but I felt that, you know, that we made the atmosphere at Old Trafford electrifying. Well, today is All Saints Day. And the Bible tells us, John, his revelation, tells us of these saints and refers to them as a great cloud of witnesses. And that was a picture and the image that came to me of these words by Erik ten Hag. Him standing at the dugout of Old Trafford with this great crowd of the fans of Man United supporting and encouraging the team, an atmosphere that he called electrifying. And John says that there is a great cloud of witness looking down upon us, encouraging us, cheering us, supporting us, making the atmosphere really electrifying. So this day, All Saints Day, is a day that we are reminded that we are not by ourselves. A day that we do take to appreciate the fact that the walls of this building are not just lined with paint and stonework and masonry, but with prayers of people who have prayed in these buildings for generations. It is a day that we do appreciate that we as Christians living here today belong to a family that has a long line of people. Not just people who are gathered today in various churches across the world, but people who gathered for the sake of Jesus Christ across the ages. I do love our liturgy, the Anglican liturgy. And indeed, someone once said that if you do want to know what we believe, just look at our liturgy. And there is one thing in particular, one statement that I really do enjoy when we say the introduction to the creed. And it says this: "We stand together with Christians throughout the world and throughout the centuries to affirm our faith in the words of the creed." We stand together with Christians throughout the world and throughout the centuries to affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. The Apostles' Creed as well, as we say it, we do say that we believe in the communion of saints. Again, stressing this fact that we who are gathered here today, we who are Christians today, we are connected to so many people throughout the centuries who had the same faith with us. So this day, we are celebrating those people, looking back at all those people who held a Christian faith and reflecting on how God worked with them, in them, and through them. And this is quite an amazing thing, and I do find All Saints Day a very powerful day. Because We recognize ourselves that as Christian people, we are on a pilgrimage. We are on this journey. And All Saints' Day is a day that again reminds us that as we walk this journey, other people have walked this journey ahead of us. And their pilgrimage, the stories of their pilgrimage, serve as encouragement to us today. As we reflect on how they and their faith was able to encourage them through adversities, as we reflect on how they were able to interact with God in their day-to-day lives, and as we reflect on the possibilities that this opened up, all this become an encouragement to our walk of faith today, our encouragement today. The church for over the centuries have been able to set out criteria of who is a saint. And there are quite a number of characteristics in terms of a saint. But I just want to highlight two things this morning. First of all these people who we call saints, whether they are canonized or people who we do know ourselves, most of them, majority of them actually, were just ordinary people. Just normal, ordinary people. Well, I am very well aware that this phrase, ordinary people, is quite contentious at this particular time in our country, especially following the budget statement this week. You know, who is an ordinary person is quite confusing at this moment, but that's not what I'm speaking to. It is about people whose life trajectory was not different from those who lived amongst them. Their lives were just similar to everyone else. For instance, think about Mary, the Blessed Virgin. She was just an ordinary young lady living at her time, doing the things that all the ladies at that particular time were doing, preparing at all just to get married, just like potentially everyone else was doing at that particular time. Just normal, ordinary people. Think of Stephen, just an ordinary gentleman, just normal people. Peter, again, just an ordinary gentleman, just a fisherman, ordinary people. But secondly, the other characteristic that the church has put out is that through their faith, they went on to overcome adversity and be able to do great things in the power of Christ. Again, let's think of Mary. As we said, her life was just normal, ordinary, a normal lady. Until Angel Gabriel showed up, and until she responded with those powerful words that be it unto me according to your word. And it is this faith in God, in this word of God, that what came next, within the next 33 or so years of her life, was able to support and to sustain her. Very quickly, her marriage plans were in doubt. 33 years later, there she was, standing on a hill, seeing as her son was being brutally murdered. There is this great sculpture by Michelangelo, the Pieta. I think there is a copy of it at Gloucester Cathedral. This powerful image of Mary holding the body of her lifeless child as Jesus was being brought down from the cross. Going through pain that was absolutely difficult and horrendous. But it was only through faith that she will be able to stand through this. One of my favorite saints, which is a modern day saint, is Saint Oscar Romero. Oscar Romero was born in El Salvador in 1917. became a priest, he became a bishop, and in 1974, he was appointed as the bishop of one of the dioceses there, Santiago de Maria. 3 years later, he became the archbishop in that province. 3 years after becoming archbishop, March 24th of 1980, he was assassinated as he was presiding over Mass in his chapel, shot and killed. You see, when Oscar Romero became archbishop at that particular time, the country, El Salvador, was going through very difficult times. And people thought that by him becoming the archbishop, he will be quite helpful, and especially the people who are making things difficult for everyone else. But he started speaking up about the injustices that people were facing. He continued with his work of supporting the poor and those who were vulnerable in the society. And the powers that be at that particular time were not happy with what the church was doing. And in his speaking up, he gave a series of sermons. And he gave some of the most powerful sermons against injustice and supporting the vulnerable. Some of the words that he said, I will just mention a few. In one of his sermons, he did say that a church that does not provoke any crisis, a gospel that does not unsettle, a word of God that does not get under one's skin, a word of God that does not touch the real problem of society, is a church that is not in the gospel. And then again, in trying to support and to speak out about what was happening, he says, it is not the rich who are going to save the poor. It is the poor who are going to save the rich. He also said, in the face of injustice, silence is complicity. And my all-time favorite, you know, him quoting St. Augustine, that the church is not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners. And I just love that image that he portrays there, of course, quoting St. Augustine, that as we gather as the body of Christ, it is not just a collection of people who are holy, people who are righteous, but it is a place as well for healing, a place for restoration, a place for meeting Christ, a place where we ourselves are strengthened, a place where is safe for those who are vulnerable, struggling, set out by society, labeled the sinners. This is what he described. And for saying all this, he paid with his life. And I could go on with examples of people who, by their faith, were just people who were just ordinary people, but by living out their faith, they did great things in the name of Jesus Christ, either by serving society, serving other people, or providing hope into the world. Today, these are the people who are cheering us on, making this atmosphere electrifying, telling us, encouraging us in our pilgrimage, carry on, move on, you can do it. Calling unto us, telling us, look at our example, look at how God was at work within us. This power of God is still at your disposal. I do enjoy the gospel reading that we read this morning. And of course, it's that familiar story of Jesus and visiting the family of his friend Lazarus. A story that goes on to portray this power that was at work with all those whom we call saints, and it's still at our disposal today. The story goes on that Lazarus became unwell, The family of Lazarus sent word to Jesus. Jesus carried on with his ministry. And so it happened that Lazarus died. Jesus comes round to visit the family of Lazarus. And the family is really sad. The community are mourning. Everyone, the society there. And the family of Lazarus are straight up with Jesus. That if you were here, our brother will not have died. And this is a sentiment that I will say it's quite familiar, particularly to myself. I don't know about you. I know I have said this statement many of times, or a variation of it. God, where are you? If only you were here, can you not see the suffering of your people today? Can you not do something? I know you're able. Why are you not doing anything? Please do something. We see the grief of Jesus in this story. Jesus shedding tears for the death of his friend. And of course, Jesus goes ahead to ask them to roll the stone. They protest and they say, Jesus, you know what? You know, there is quite a stench. You know, it's been 4 days. It's not going to be pleasant. And I do find that quite interesting at how they invite Jesus. Of course, Jesus comes late. And then when Jesus arrives, they tell him off, if you were here, you know, things would have been better. And then Jesus tries to offer a solution, and they try and say to him, whoa, just chill out. You know, we miss our brother, but the stench is too much. We want change, but surely the price to pay, the stench, oh no, we prefer not the stench. Quite an interesting one. And I do wonder sometimes whether we ourselves, as Christians, as people who live in our community, are very keen for the intervention of Jesus, or should I say, we're very keen for the idea of God or Jesus intervening in our society. But we still have some reservations. Yes, but. But of course, they still go ahead and do what Jesus says. And for me, this is where I find it quite incredible that Jesus calls out Lazarus. And this is quite incredible because the voice of Jesus goes way, way far. His voice transcends even to the grave. The wall and the boundary that death had put and has continually put between the living and the dead, the voice of Jesus goes beyond. And I'm reminded that this is the same voice that at creation said, let there be, and there was. That out of nothing, this voice was able to create all that we see, and even so much more of that which we cannot be able to see. Jesus' voice, so powerful. Jesus' words, so powerful, that even the dead Lazarus hears those words and responds to those words. And this is the power that the saints points us towards, reminding us that this power is at our disposal. And it is them saying, look at us, look at our lives. God came through for us. Jesus Christ came through for us. Jesus Christ used us who were just ordinary people to bring transformation, to bring the kingdom of God closer and nearer to the people whom we served. This is a power that is at our disposal. our faith in Jesus Christ for us today, in these present times, and the power of Christ can bring transformation in our world. If we lean on to Christ and ask of Him to continually support us, we can bring this change into the world. So this day, may we be encouraged that we are not alone on this pilgrim journey. So many have gone before us. They are there to cheer us on, to ask us, look unto us and see what Jesus has done through us and with us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can do this through you. I started out with a football analogy, and I would want to conclude with a chant that is usually sung in football matches, but I'm not sure they understand why they sing it, but I'm just going to say, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, Lord, I want to be among the number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Can you sing with me? Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, want to be in a number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Amen. Thank you.